Today, Shir Mishnah Berurah Yomi is Siman Tav Mem Dalel, we're up to Siv Beis. We're continuing the halachos when Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos. What are you supposed to do? So he says, as we saw yesterday, you have to go ahead and do the Bir Chametz on Erev Shabbos in such a situation. So when should you do it on Erev Shabbos? Tov Levayer B'Erev Shabbos Kodem Chatzos. It is best to do the Bir Chametz on when you're doing it on Erev Shabbos before Chatzos. Why? So that people will not come to make mistakes in other years and do the Bir Chametz after Chatzos. The Ramah adds, Uviyom HaShabbos Yimatlenu. Based on what we're going to see in the Shulchan Aruch coming up on Sif Vav, he points out that the Bittul is done on Shabbos day and not on Erev Shabbos. Let's see. Sif Katan Tes, Kodem Chatzos, the Bir on Erev Shabbos, the destruction of the Chametz, is done before Chatzos. So he says, Lav Dafka. He says that this is not really exact, but Kodem Chatzos. Erotelomar, it means to say, Pitchila Shashis, that it should be done at the beginning of the sixth hour, as in other years. Right? Kimo Bishar Shonim. Now, a little bit of background is in order over here. Nido Raisa, the mitzvah of Tashbisu, Biur Chametz, takes effect at the beginning of the seventh hour, right after Chatzos, on Erev Pesach. At that point, one has to begin getting rid of his chametz immediately, and each moment one fails to do so, he is in violation of the mitzvah. Chazal advanced the obligation by an hour to the beginning of the sixth hour, just in case one would go ahead and make a mistake regarding the true time and be over the Doraisa. Now, one should note that this is really, I'm presenting a certain approach in the Rishonim. Rashi, I believe, did not learn this way, but anyway, exactly, but for our purposes, it is meaningful, and therefore, although in the present case, one is eliminating the Chametz on Friday, long before the actual Chiyuv takes effect on Shabbos at the beginning of the sixth hour, we are nonetheless advised to do Biur at the beginning of the sixth hour in order to avoid messing up in other years when it is actually obligatory. It should be noted one other thing, that in other years, the Mishnah Berurah earlier had said that he does not advise eliminating Chametz in the beginning of the sixth hour. This was in Taf Lamed Dalet, Sif Yud Beis. Check it out there. Sif Katan Yud Beis, sorry. He does not advise doing Biur of Chametz in the beginning of the sixth hour, as suggested here, but rather prior to the sixth hour. However, the reason for doing so is to avoid violating the chiv, biblical midoraisa or midorabanan. But to perform the mitzvah of biur chametz in the optimal fashion, so they want, Mishnah Berurah wants you to go ahead and do it earlier. Therefore, as such, it is not a strong enough concern to require this type of practice in the present case for the sake of other years. In other words, for the sake of other years, we keep it bidiktuk the way it has to be done, namely in the beginning of the sixth hour. In this case, we do it in the beginning of the sixth hour, because that's the way it's supposed to be done. May ikar hadin midrabanan. However, in a regular year, Mishnah Berurah advises to get it done before the beginning of the sixth hour. Here on Erev Pesach, that falls out on Shabbos, where we now move the biur up a day to Erev Shabbos, which is a full day before the Chi of Biur Midrabanan, you can then begin B'Tchilas Sheish of Yom Shishi. We continue on. Yud, Uviyom HaShabbos Yivak Lenu. So, the Ramah here, he says, look at the Mishnah Berurah, L'kamam B'Sif Vav, as I said before, he's referencing Sif Vav. The Eino, he says, the Eino Tzarech Levatel B'Erev Shabbos B'Shas Biuro. He does not need to do Bittul of the Chametz on Erev Shabbos at the time of its Biur. Why? Usually you do Bittul with Biur. The same way you do Bittul at the Bedikah, you do Bittul at Biur. So why not? Sof Yetzarach Levatel Biyom Machar. Because in any case, he'll have to go ahead and do Bittul the next day. Why? Sharei Chozer V'Zocher V'Pas Shemeshai Yetzarach HaShabbos Yishlachos Shemei Yishai Me'em Ma'at. Because he's going to reacquire the bread that he left for Shabbos, and we're concerned that he'll leave over a small amount of this bread. And what he means to say here is that the Shulchan Aruch, back in Taf Lamed Dalet Sif Beis, paskens, that in a standard year, one has to do bittul of his chametz immediately following the bedika. And one should again do a bittul before the beginning of the sixth hour, when bittul will no longer be effective. And that's when you go ahead and do the do it on a regular year. And the reason for the second bittul is that people often leave over or purchase chametz to eat in the morning when it is still mutter. That's the whole reason. And perhaps some of the chametz will not be consumed or destroyed. Check out the Mishnah Berurah there, Sif Katan Yud Aleph. So, in the present case, one has to do bittul of his chametz immediately after the bedika, which takes place on the 13th at night, Thursday night. There's no point in performing a second bittul the next day, because he has to keep over the chametz anyway for Shabbos use. The whole reason why we do another bittul on a normal year the next morning with the biur is because he retained chametz from the bedika the night before. Here he's retaining chametz even after the biur for Shabbos. So the second bittul should rather be done Shabbos morning after one has finished eating chametz prior to the beginning of the sixth hour. Sif Gimel. Ein mevash l'Shabbos zeh daisa v'chayayitza b'zeh. So in this sif, the Shulchan Aruch is going to inform us that it is also to prepare chametz food for Shabbos, that is Erev Pesach, if it's an Erev Pesach Shabbos, if this will necessitate washing dishes from chametz on that Shabbos, because one has to rid himself of the chametz by the beginning of the sixth hour. And this is, as we'll see, is due to the general iser to wash dishes on Shabbos if they will no longer be needed for that day. So let's see. One, it is good to go ahead and cook, not cook, daisa, cereal, porridge, or things similar to this on this Shabbos. And he says, Eino yisimbo pasat snuma bakara. So you should not only not be mevashel on the Shabbos daisa and things like it, but also you should not make dry bread in a dish. So let's see. So why should he not go ahead and cook things like daisa? What this means, what's the issue of daisa? Daisa is a sticky type of chametz tikka food. Look what he says. Davar shadarcha ledavek b'kli. Anything that tends to stick to the kli that it is placed in, talking here, any type of pot, serving dish, plate, fork. And he says, this is aser ki yitztarech ladicha machar achilam yishum iser chametz. The reason is that this is aser is because he will have to wash these kelim after eating due to the iser of retaining chametz. The iser, the aser, kevan she'ein sarech lahem shuv ba'oso hayom kevesimen shilchav gimel sif vav. And if, because he would go ahead and have to go ahead and wash these kelim, this is aser, because he did, to go ahead and wash it, because he does not need the kli anymore on that day. And we saw in Hilchos Shabbos in Shin Chaf Gimel Sif Vav, the Mishnah Berurah there explains that this is aser due to tircha, that it is extraneous exertion that does not serve a Shabbos need. And we know a number of activities are aser on Shabbos for this reason. Now, the truth is, this seems a shtickel difficult. Why is this considered tircha yisera? It would seem that the halachic requirement to eliminate chametz on that very day qualifies as a legitimate need. Shlomo Zalman Orbach explains in Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa, quoted there in the notes, that despite one's need to get rid of his chametz, washing the kelim is not considered a need of the day at Tzorech Hayom, since one has the option of simply covering the chametz with a kli until after Shabbos and Yom Tov, and then destroying it then. Rav Shlomo Zalman points out, however, that it does not entirely resolve the difficulty, since covering chametz with a kli is only good b'di'eved. Ideally, one should entirely eliminate it. Indeed, the Ramah here paskins that if one did cook a chametz dish, he should wash the pot of the remains, despite the general iser of doing so, and he does not advise merely covering it with a kli. So why then, we got to really ask ourselves, isn't fulfilling one's obligation in the ideal manner by washing the kli considered a sufficient need? So perhaps we can suggest it as follows. The Chazal only permitted washing dishes for use on Shabbos because this serves a Shabbos need. Since the exertion is for the sake of Shabbos, it's not considered, normally, if it's for the sake of Shabbos, extraneous, that's not included in the Isser. By contrast, ridding oneself of chametz, though very important, is not a Shabbos need, it's a general need. Exertion expended for this purpose is therefore considered extraneous vis-a-vis Shabbos and is essentially Isser. Thus, you have to refrain from cooking chametz foods in order to avoid having to wash the dishes. But nonetheless, if one cooked the chametz, the mitzvah of
getting rid of and be mevayer the chametz, that will supersede the iser of tircha b'di'eved, and one can go ahead and wash the dishes as much as is necessary for this purpose, as we will see coming up very soon in the Ramah. We are up to Sif Katan Yud Bayez. Pas Tsenuma, dry bread. That's what he says. Tsenuma means Yevesha, Sif Katan Yud Bayez. Now, why is that also a problem? So Mr. Brura here is explaining the word Tsenuma as Yevesha, and he's calling it dry bread in a dish. And this refers to dried bread soaked in hot liquid, which will leave a sticky residue. So it's the same type of halacha, that it leaves a sticky residue, which must be washed away. And now there's the Ramah that we were just referencing. Ramah comes and he says, Yesh la, im avar ubishel v'amachal davik pekdera, v'yiv shalakancho, yesh ladicho ma'at lavir achameitz. So as we just said before, that if one is over, and he cooks one of these sticky chametz, sticky foods, and it's now stuck to the pot and cannot be just wiped off, then one should wash it a little to remove the chametz, meaning as much as you need to remove the chametz, and not more than that. Let's see the Mishnah Brura Sif Katan Yud Gimel V'Iyev Shal Kancho, and it cannot be wiped off, because he's basically saying Dim Efshar Sif Katan Gimel Efshar V'Kinuach Levad. Also, ladiach shelo tzorech, because if it's possible to clean it by wiping alone, it's usser to wash it unnecessarily, because washing dishes is essentially usser. One cannot do so if wiping them off will suffice. Sif katan yud dalid, yesh ladicho ma'at, rotzolomar, this means, as we said, rak b'deish yavor ha-chametz, only as much as necessary to remove the chametz, as the Ramah concludes, ukud mesayim, right, the Ramah, again, he concluded with the words to remove the chametz. And now he continues the Mishnah Brura and he says, although this washing is not for a Shabbos need, we permit it b'di'eved due to the iser of retaining chametz. Nonetheless, if it's possible to have it washed by a non-Jew, that is for sure preferable, if it cannot be wiped clean. So what he's basically saying here is that the preferred option is to wipe the clean clean and not wash it at all. When wiping is insufficient, the next best option is to have a non-Jew wash it. The basic idea is that in general, one may not ask a non-Jew to perform Shabbos Isurim on his behalf. However, one is permitted to ask a non-Jew to perform a derabbanan when it's necessary for the fulfillment of a mitzvah. This is what is known as shvus deshvus b'makom mitzvah. And since the issur of washing dishes is derabbanan and getting rid of chametz is a mitzvah, one can ask a non-Jew to do it. If, however, one can simply wipe the chametz off the dishes, then there is no need, and you don't have to ask the non-Jew, and you should not ask the non-Jew to do so pashtus. Now, the poskim write as follows. They write, we continue on in the Shulchan Aruch, Kosva poskim shetov sheyavashlu bekelim chadoshim hamulchanim lepesach. The poskim write that preferably people should cook in new kelim that have been prepared for Pesach. This is a general yesod. Uchayom nagu v'chama mekomos medinaseinu she'achar atfila ochlim machalim karim shel chametz. V'yachar chatzi hayom ochlim tavshilim chamim she'amdu batanur v'shevashlu bekelim shel Pesach. Nowadays, the minhag, he says, in many places in our Medina, that after the shachris, they eat cold chametz food, and after chatzos, and after chatzos, they eat hot dishes that were kept in the oven and cooked in Pesach kelim. And in this manner, the yotzim b'zeh suda shlishis. So this is just to review what we just said. So the poskim here write that preferably people should cook in new kelim that have been prepared for Pesach. Nowadays, the minhag in many places is that after the shachris tefillah, they eat cold chametz foods, and after chatzos, they eat hot dishes that were kept in the oven and cooked in Pesach kelim. And in this manner, they're going to fulfill their suda shlishit. Now, it's interesting that he says the minhag was to eat cold, not hot chametz foods. The truth is, there's no chiyuv to eat cold chametz foods. If he wants to, he could use chametz just for lechem mishnah and non chametz food for the rest of that first meal in the morning, limiting the chametz in his possession. In fact, modern-day poskim say this. Check out
Rav Shimon Eider in his book on Hilchos Pesach. We're up to Sif Dalet now. This Sif is going to discuss how to get rid of the remaining chametz following one's Shabbos meal. On Shabbos, as you know, you're not allowed to burn the chametz or carry it out of the house. It's no Erev. The Shulchan Aruch is going to distinguish between leftover crumbs, which do not have to be removed from the house, and larger pieces of chametz, which one has to give to a non-Jew who removes them from the house. Sif Dalet. Achash Shachal B'Shabbos Zeh Sudas Shachras. Yinai Ramah Peshach Luba. So after one has eaten his morning Shabbos meal, he should take out the tablecloth that the people ate on, and he should then wipe the plates clean with his finger and store them way out of sight with the other chametz kelim. So that's what he should do. Look at the Mishnah Berurah, Yinayar Hamapa, you should shake out the tablecloth. He says, "Osam berurim dakim v'kinua hakaros ein tzarich lotziyam reshuso didrasim beraglayim u'misparim me'elayin." The small crumbs that are shaken off the tablecloth and the remnants of food wiped off the plates, they did not need to be removed from one's reshus, as they are stepped on the foot and become eliminated by themselves. U'misparim me'elayim u'mikom akom tov shi'yachavin abayis achakach al yidei akum v'mein lo akum yachavin bi'atzmo al yidei shinui be'beged. So he says, nevertheless, it's best to have the house swept afterwards by a non-Jew, and if there is no non-Jew available, he should sweep the house himself in a shinuitika manner, an abnormal manner, such as with a garment. Basically, the reason why we have it swept afterwards by a non-Jew is, let's understand what's going on here. See, we saw earlier that crumbs of chametz are, in fact, inherently insignificant and considered batel me'elav. And the Halicha Shlomo maintains that according to the Mishnah Berurah, one is not required to check the house for crumbs at all. Nevertheless, the Mishnah Berurah here implies that if one sees that he has crumbs, he should eliminate them, just that in our case, they get eliminated by themselves by being stepped on. The reason the crumbs need to be eliminated is out of concern that someone might eat them on Pesach, this is a chayadam. Now, as far as leftover crumbs of chametz in between one's teeth, one can use a toothpick or dry toothbrush to remove them, so long as it is not inevitable that his gums will bleed as a result. And if there's some chametz left in the toothbrush, he should wash it lightly, as Ramah Paskin earlier in Sif Gimel, with regard to washing pots. Check out Shimon Ida Sefer. Now, again, why do we have the non-Jew sweep? So we're concerned that perhaps some crumbs will not be stepped on. Therefore, one should ask a non-Jew to sweep the house, or sweep the house with a garment, and dispose of any crumbs that he finds. The Shulchan Aruch Paskins that it's usher to sweep dirt floors on Shabbos. So the Mishnah Berurah explains that there are a number of concerns. All these issues regarding sweeping our floors nowadays are discussed in Hilchos Shabbos, Shin Lamed Zayin, Sif Beis. Check out the Mishnah Berurah there as well, and as well as the Per Halacha. Now, if after sweeping one finds chametz crumbs, he should dispose of them using one of the methods the Shulchan Aruch below, and Mishnah Berurah, we'll see Sif Kata Yudches and Chav Aleph, will suggest for larger pieces of chametz. For example, he should give the crumbs to a non-Jew in the manner described by Shulchan Aruch below, or he should feed them to his animals or throw them into an outhouse. Nowadays, a person can flush the crumbs down the toilet. We continue on in the Shulchan Aruch. The Nishar Pas Yachal Litno Le'in Yehudi Al Menashe Lavatzeis Bo Loshus Harabim Derech Haroma V'Davar Muat. If there's bread left over, you can give it to a non-Jew, on condition that's right, stipulating that he will not go out with it into a Rosh Hasharabim in a manner of pretense and in a small amount, in a deceitful manner, derech harama, vid bevar muat, and in a small amount. Let's spell this all out. Sif katan tes zayin, yachol litno, he can give it to a non-Jew, v'matana gemura, v'sharinan ze, vid shabbos, he gives it to a non-Jew as an unqualified gift, and we allow this on Shabbos for the sake of a mitzvah. The mitzvah in this case being that the chametz should not be in his reshus, as has been explained in Shin Vav. Now, what's being said here is he's not allowed to give it to the non-Jew with any sort of condition or stipulation, for example, that he will return it after Pesach, because this is insufficient in avoiding the isser of owning chametz on Pesach, as we will see coming up in Taf Mem Ches. Now, you should note that when giving the chametz to a non-Jew, One is doing two things. He's transferring ownership of the chametz to the non-Jew, and he's arranging for the chametz to be taken out of the house because the non-Jew will probably take the chametz out with him. It is not enough to simply remove the chametz from the house because one may not own chametz on Pesach, even if it's not his rishus. On the other hand, just giving it to the non-Jew without him taking it out is also a problem because one is chayiv to erect a mechitza in front of a chametz, and it is usher to go ahead and make such a mechitza on Shabbos. Now, even though in some instances we say it's enough to cover the chametz with a kli, this is only when there's no other choice. Here, though, he can avoid the problem by having the non-Jew remove it from the house, so therefore he's chayiv to do so. It should be noted, though, we should note that if one sold his chametz to a non-Jew, as most people do nowadays, there is a much simpler solution. After transferring ownership to the non-Jew, he can place the chametz in the closet or room that is being sold to the non-Jew, since the chametz will then be enclosed by a proper barrier. No problemo. We continue on, Sifkat Nitzayin, Amanas, Shalo, Latzeis, on condition that he will not go out with it. So he points out here that as follows, Lavdavka, Rotzalomar, Shalo, Amanas, Latzeis, Bo, Fafilu, Bistama, Shari. The language here, he says, is not precise, and the Shulchan Aruch means to say that he should not give it on condition, the stipulation, that he go out with it, but it is even permitted to give it with no structure instructions at all. Lafilu bistama shari. And what's he excluding here? Lafuki eched the amalo. Lafilu bistama shari. Lafuki eched the amalo Yisrael behedya the aser mishum shvus v'amira la'akum. It's the Shulchan Aruch is only means to exclude here when the Jew told him specifically to go out with it, which is aser because of the rabbanon of instructing a non-Jew to do malacha on Shabbos. Amir la'akum. When we come back on bal nefesh roi shiyas nimo amanas shelo lahoti kein mashma bagos maimani sham. Nevertheless, it's proper for someone who's a bal nefesh to stipulate that he's giving the non-Jew the chametz on condition that he does not carry it out. This is implied by the Hagos Maimoni there, and that's what he should do, ideally. And the basic idea here all is that you're not allowed to tell a non-Jew outright to take an item into the Rishus HaRabim, since it's also to instruct a Jew to do malacha on Shabbos, and you also cannot give an item to a non-Jew, even in your own house or courtyard, where it's obvious the non-Jew will take it out to the Rishus HaRabim. For example, you can't give a non-food item to a non-Jew on Shabbos, since it's obvious that he will take it out. So here, what's happening is, you can go ahead and give the non-Jew a small amount of food, because it's possible that he'll eat that before he leaves. And therefore, that's why he's paskeding Shulchan Aruch that he can give the non-Jew only a small amount of chametz. And that's why the Mishnah Berurah here explains that it's not necessary to tell a non-Jew not to take it out. Rather, as long as he does not tell him to take it out, there's no problem. It's an interesting Shaar Tzion that says that if it's possible, you should not hand the chametz to the non-Jew directly, but should ask the non-Jew to take it from the table or floor. And Ayin Shum in Shin Chaf Hey Sif Yud Aleph Shaar Tzion there Sif Katan Yud Aleph for more on this Sif Katan Yud Ches. So again, there can't be any type of situation where the Jew tells him to go out with it to the Rishus HaRabim, and Mr. Bruy here says, Aval Karmel is Enel Shvus, Mutter Afil Omalo Behed Yelotzio, the Shvus, Bebaka Mitzvah Shari, Vayim Besim and Shinna Medi, Shpaposki, the Shus HaRabim, who Dafka Beshish Ribo, will be do, Kol Yero Shalano Karmel same. So he says here, with regard to a Karmelist, where transferring it is only Midrabbanon, it's permitted even to explicitly tell him to remove it, because a Shvus, the Shvus, Bebaka Mitzvah is permitted. He says, See Shinna Hey, Siv Zion, where it's mentioned that there are opinions among the post-Gim world that an area is considered a Rishus HaRabim only if 600,000 people pass through it regularly. According to these opinions, right, many of us hold this way, the streets of all our cities are classified as a Karmelis. Now, the idea of Shvus to Shvus is like this. A Shvus itself is Midrabbanan. A Shvus to Shvus is an act that is usher only by virtue of two Rabbanans. As such, it's more makel and is waived for the sake of a mitzvah. So in our scenario, carrying an object from a Rishus HaYachid to a Karmelis is only the Rabbanan, even if done by a Jew. So therefore, instructing a non-Jew to do any malacha is similarly only the Rabbanan. Therefore, instructing a non-Jew to bring an item into a Karmelis is only usher by combining the two shusim, and therefore mutter by the sake of a mitzvah.
And since in our case it's a mitzvah to get rid of the chametz, he can instruct the non-Jew to take it into a karmelis. Sif katam yutes derech ha'arama. He does it in the manner of deceit and pretense. After he says, what he means to say here is, although his intention was that the non-Jew should take the chametz out, it's nevertheless mutter since he did not instruct the non-Jew to do this explicitly. The term harama, literally using a pretense, refers to where one employs a pretense or trick to permit something that would have otherwise been usur. In our case, the Jew wants the non-Jew to take the chametz out to the Rosh Hashanah, but he did not tell him to take it out or even give the impression that he told him to do so. He therefore implies a trick. He gives the non-Jew a small amount of chametz to give the impression that the non-Jew might eat it on the premises, but in reality, he wants him to take it out. Now, in certain areas of halacha, harama is asur, but here, however, Chazal, as you know, permitted harama in how you go ahead and get a non-Jew to do this, and sifkat al-chaf, the dabar mu'at, it has to be in a small amount. Aval harbe asur, a large amount is going to be asur. Because then it will become clear that he's giving it to the non-Jew so that he should remove it. Miu, dabar mu'at, mutali tenu afilu pamapami. But he could do the following maneuver. Even though he can't do a large amount, you could take a small amount. It could be given even numerous times. Why? The al kolponim ain't al harama ashari. Because in any event, it is merely acting in a manner of pretense, of deceitful trickery, which is allowed. The davar muat hu kedei sudachas. What is a davar muat? It is that which can be eaten in a single meal. Uve karmelis mutar b'chol gavni. However, in a karmelis, it's permitted in all cases, as was explained above. That is, he may give the non-Jew even a large amount of chametz, because there's no problem with giving the impression that he told the non-Jew to take it out, since you could even instruct the non-Jew explicitly to take chametz into a karmelis. Shus be makom mitzvah.
If one has a large amount of chametz in a designated room and forgot to sell it on Erev Shabbos, he has to give it as a gift to a non-Jew. He can give it to a non-Jewish acquaintance whom he's certain will return it to him after Pesach, although you're not allowed to give it as a present on condition that the non-Jew will return it, as we explained already. Here he's not making any conditions, he just happens to know, and the non-Jew will return it. Therefore, it's permitted to give the chametz to the non-Jew. Rak, he says, he, however, has to be careful to transfer to the non-Jew with an effective act of kinyan, such as through hagba or meshicha, where the non-Jew will be mosheich, will pull it into his reshus. If the chametz is too much, right, then yaknelo b'mesiras ha-mafteach, he could transfer to the non-Jew by means of giving him the key of the room. Even though you're not allowed to give gifts on Shabbos, for the sake of mitzvah, it is allowed. If he's afraid to give it as a gift, because perhaps the non-Jew will not return it to him after Pesach, there are achronim who are inclined to say that he's allowed to sell it to the non-Jew, and it is not considered performing an act of commerce, of mekach u'memkar on Shabbos, kevan she'eno osa ela linatzel me'iser chametz, because he's doing it only to save himself from the iser of chametz. However, there are many achronim, he says, aval kama achronim cholkim azeh, there are many achronim that are cholik on this, v'daitam, and their opinion is, the mechira aser b'chol gavni, that mechira is aser regardless, aser under all circumstances. Afilu ena lo keach maos mimenu klal, ela kotei di mos chum amikach, o mechro, lo b'shar, kishar b'shabashuk b'li ktisas skum ha, skum ha mikach, umakna lo hachamez b'echad b'darche akniya. So, he's saying this is even if he does not take any money from the non-Jew, but just sets a price for the sale of the non-Jew, or he sells it at its market value without setting a price for the sale. Umakna lo hachamez b'echad b'darche akniya. And in both cases, he transfers the chametz to the non-Jew with one of the acts of kinyan listed above. Although the sale is for the purpose of mitzvah, of getting rid of the chametz, the chachamim will not allow actual commerce on Shabbos, even for the sake of mitzvah, as we explained. That's what we explained there. Check out the Mishnah Brura there. The basic word is that we know in general that doing business, buying or selling on Shabbos is usur, either a banan, and even matana is usur because it resembles mekach u'memka business. But Since giving a gift is not actual business, Chazal and Mekel allow one to do this for the purpose of a mitzvah, but buying or selling, though, is usher even for the sake of a mitzvah.
So the previous sif, we saw that if large pieces of chametz are left over after the morning meal, you have to give them to a non-Jew who will take them out of the house. In this sif, Shulchan Aruch deals with what should be done if it is not possible to give the chametz to a non-Jew. So that's why he says, in Nishar chametz achar she'achlo, if chametz remains after the people have eaten, then mevatlo, he's mevatlo, he nullifies it, and he covers it with a kli until motei yom tov, kofal of kli and motei yom tov, umevaro, and then he eliminates it. We are up to sif katar chaf aleph, mevatlo the chofa, umairi, the less kusi okelev, no, lo. It's the first two situations where there's no non-Jew or dog to give it to. Because if this were not the case, then even if the fourth hour has already passed and is now the fifth hour, he should move the chametz and give it to a non-Jew or a dog. It is also permitted, he says, it's also permitted to move the chametz and throw it into a bathroom. If one has a bathroom in his chatzer, and he says, if one in the shtar atzah shishis was asur banav basur betzultu, afilu achi shari like the akum sheizraku benar o lebeis hakisei. He says, if one waited until the sixth hour and did not destroy the chametz, at which point it is asur to get any anah from the chametz and it cannot be moved, it's nevertheless permitted to dispose of it through a non-Jew by instructing him to throw it into the river or the bathroom. The reason why it's muksa is because since it's forbidden to eat or even benefit from it, then it has no use, and it is muksa. Besides that, throwing something in a river on Shabbos is asa midu abanan, under the malacha of muksa. You could ask a non-Jew to throw the chametz in the river, because instructing the non-Jew to do a drabanan, since the river is a karmelis, is going to be mutter for the mitzvah, as we've already discussed. Now, it should be noted that in this case, it's not enough to give the chametz as a gift to the non-Jew. Rather, he must tell the non-Jew to get rid of and be mevayer the chametz. The reason is that after the sixth hour, the chametz is not legally his to give away, and therefore the only way to get rid of the chametz is by biur chametz. Finally, sevav afa bishal yishayr chametz babayis achar suda shachris sarach mevatel chametz kederech shehu mevatel deshar yamin. Although there'll be no chametz left in the house after the morning meal, one has to be mevatel chametz in the manner that he's mevatel it in other years. Sif katan chaf beis. What does this mean? Hainu b'sof sha chamishis. This means at the end of the fifth hour, as we stated above in taf lamed dalid sif beis. Afil im kvar bital me'etmol. Kedomol elbas sif katan yud ayin sham. This is true even if he already did bital the chametz the previous day, as stated above in sif katan yud. See there, as we saw back there, Mishnah Berurah holds that putting chametz in a bathroom is considered like eliminating it completely. Therefore, you can dispose of the chametz in this way even after the sixth hour. There's a Chazon Ish, however, who disagrees, and he holds that putting chametz in a beis hakisei helps only before the sixth hour. The post can point out, however, that flushing chametz down the toilet is enough, according to all opinions, since this is the same as throwing it into the sea. Meaning the Chazon Ish was just talking about stam, throwing it away into a bathroom, into those types of toilets, but a toilet that flushes, l'chaira is good, l'chol abeis.